it, cause the Kings is back. Smarkamania is running wild again. What's up, guys? My name is Mike Auger. My co-host, as always, is the one and only Harley Callahan. Real name, no gimmicks.
What's up, what's up?
And we're breaking down two pay-per-views. One of them was mediocre. One of them was pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. We'll let you be the judge of which is which.
Yep.
We'll start it off with WWE Hell in a Cell. This pay-per-view is a SmackDown exclusive pay-per-view, and the main event is a Hell in a Cell match between Shane McMahon and Kevin Owens. As is tradition, I did not watch the pre-show match.
Neither did I. Did you think this was better than No Mercy, or a little bit less?
This had a better main event.
Okay, yeah.
But as far as the whole card as a whole, No Mercy was better.
Okay. I kind of felt the opposite, but we'll get into that because of the individual matches. Because there are some matches I thought were better than, like, the No Mercy matches. Mm-hmm. But I will agree the main event was better than No Mercy.
Okay. So the free-for-all was Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin defeated the Hype Bros. Who gives a fuck about that?
Zack Ryder needs to turn heel.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, he's already got that attitude.
So we start off with our first match of the night, which is a Hell in a Cell match for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. The New Day defending the tag team titles against the Usos.
And in the New Day, we got Big E, of course, and Xavier Woods. I was surprised by this.
Me too, because he's hurt.
Yeah.
This was the match of the night.
This was a great match.
It was fucking awesome.
Like, the tag team division, like, as a whole, is like... setting the bar right now, dude.
As a whole? Like Raw and SmackDown?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, they're like killing it right now, dude. This match was great. Like, and it gave, and like, it did what a Hell in a Cell match is supposed to do. It gave an edge to each competitor, you know?
These guys laid it in, too.
Yeah, fucking Xavier Woods, like, traps Jey Uso in like a jail cell made out of kendo sticks.
That was pretty awesome.
And then just like attacks him. I thought that was dope.
Very creative. I think it was as brutal as it can be without blading or doing anything crazy.
Oh yeah, there's some instances where I didn't, like, I'm like, how did he not bleed from that?
The Usos beat the shit out of Xavier Woods with that kendo stick too, man.
Oh yeah, they handcuffed him, hung him on a pole, and then just beat at his ribs with the kendo stick. But it was just a phenomenal match. Like, it's a great way to start. And, you know, like I said before, it did what a Hell in a Cell match is supposed to do. It gave an edge to each competitor.
Yeah. The finish came with... they put two chairs on Big E.
Mm-hmm. And they did it...
No, was it Woods or Big E?
I think it was Woods, and they did it a double oos.
Yeah, they did double oos off the top rope. Which looked like it hurt every guy involved.
Yeah, like...
one guy got it worse than the other, though.
Mm-hmm.
End up pinning Xavier Woods, though.
And the Usos are now the five-time... they're technically five-time tag team champions, but three-time SmackDown?
I believe so. Something like that. I mean...
yeah. The fallout from that on SmackDown is they addressed the New Day, and they're just basically... they said, hey, respect. You know, to you guys. We killed each other. You know, this is our division now, but hey, respect to you guys.
So are the Usos turning face now? I mean,
No. They just were just like, hey.
Mutual respect type deal.
Yeah, it was just like, you know, we run this, you know, basically it was like, we run this bitch now, but respect to you.
Well, Gable and Benjamin want a fatal four-way to face the Usos next. So those will be the next challengers for those belts.
Yeah.
The next match was Randy Orton taking on Rusev. This was a match that happened.
I don't understand, like, how Randy Orton can be so good, but, like, they put him in with, like, a mediocre... like, I just... there's something about Rusev that isn't clicking anymore.
And maybe it's just his... maybe he's lost the passion for it because of the way he's being booked. Because he used to be awesome.
Yeah. I think, like, maybe if he didn't lose in, like... 9 seconds. Like, I'd be interested in it. But now, like, after that whole thing, it's like, I have no respect for this storyline.
There's not a lot to say about this match, though. It was like a standard SmackDown match.
Yeah, I mean, granted, Rusev, you know, escaped the RKO a couple times. I will say this about Rusev. He sells the RKO really nicely.
Yeah.
Like, the way he sells it is really great. It's really good.
The finish came with, I believe, did he get out of the accolade and turn into an RKO or something like that?
Yeah, Orton almost got trapped in the accolade, but he escaped and then RKO'd him. And then, 1-2-3, Randy Orton wins. And now Randy Orton's just going to be another face swimming the crowd. Actually, no, they're continuing this with Aiden English.
Wow. So next up, we had AJ Styles defending the United States Championship. This was originally supposed to be a one-on-one match.
Yeah.
Ty Dillinger was added to this.
Last minute.
To make it a triple threat. So I knew right off the bat Baron Corbin was going to win. And Ty Dillinger was there to eat a pin.
Yes. I enjoyed this match, though. Like, this is probably, like, I enjoyed it. You know, because I love seeing Dillinger and AJ go at it. And also, like, having Baron in there is just, like, this big, brooding, like, angry person, like, fit well for me, you know.
Well, I thought it started off extremely slow and it got better as it went on.
Definitely.
Obviously, Ty and AJ were pushing the action mostly.
Yeah.
I mean, AJ to me is so much better than these two other guys. It's not even funny.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
You know, but Baron ends up, I think AJ ends up hitting the phenomenal forearm on Ty.
Yeah.
And then Baron Corbin kicks AJ Styles out of the ring and really fucking stiff.
Yeah.
And gets the pin and walks away with the belt. And then, surprisingly, the next night on SmackDown, the rematch happens one-on-one and Baron Corbin pins AJ Styles clean right in the middle.
Yeah. It was, again, I enjoyed this match. I'm liking one of Baron's new moves, the chokeslam to a backbreaker.
Yeah.
I'm really liking that.
I thought he did that a few times in NXT and then stopped using it for a while.
Maybe, because he does end of days in the deep six, you know.
Right.
But yeah, I enjoyed that match.
Next up, we had Natalya defending the Women's Championship against Charlotte Flair. The match was good. The finish was awful.
I just didn't like how they made... Are they, like, trying to make all the four horsewomen look like pussies?
Explain.
So, we already know those, like, Alexa Bliss versus Bayley. Like, Alexa Bliss just beat the shit out of her.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Becky's been made to look like a chump.
Becky, mainly, Sasha Banks can't keep a title for more than a week. And now in this match, Charlotte was just being dominated by Natalya.
Yeah, a lot of it was Natalya working over her leg.
Yeah, and it was just like, are you trying to, like... Like, are we going to make the four horsewomen heel, like, all together? Is that what we're doing? Are we just, like, trying to build sympathy for them? Or are you just, like, having them do something until you do your god-awful plan of having the UFC four horsewomen come in?
Yeah, I agree with you there, man. So Natalya tries, or I mean, not Natalya, Charlotte tries to hit a moonsault off the top to the outside, kind of jams her knee on the way down. Her knee is already being worked on by Natalya. Then Natalya hits, like, the softest, weakest chair shots you've ever seen in your life on her leg on the outside, which causes the DQ. I guess they're continuing this?
I guess. I don't know. Like, they're all losing their edge, and it's not fun.
Carmella's got to cash in sooner or later here.
She does. I'm going to put money on that she's going to, like, it's... No, this is the first one. I don't think she'll be successful.
Did you see the backstage video of Carmella? And it's Ellsworth on a leash.
No.
And he was like, I really want some... Or she's like, I'm thirsty. Give me some water. And he's holding the bottle of water in his mouth. Grabs it. And then he's like... And she's like, you want some water? Drink out of your bowl. And he goes over to the bowl like a dog. I'm not making this up. And then she's like, come on, let's go. And pulls him on the leash, dude.
I did see that. I'm going to have to look at it later. Oh, that's so bad.
And hot at the same time.
Yeah, true. I bet Ellsworth's not complaining.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, this wasn't my favorite match.
Yeah. Speaking of not my favorite matches, Jinder Mahal defending the WWE Championship against Shinsuke Nakamura again.
Okay. This is like completely and utterly unnecessary for him to still be champion at this point. Like,
gotta keep that strap on him for that Indian tour.
But like, at least, okay, so if you really want him to have that strap on during the Indian tour, have him lose it and then regain it back. The thing that, okay, the thing about Jinder Mahal is that he was just, it was just bam, okay? At least with Drew McIntyre, who was a peer of Jinder Mahal, was in three-man band, at least with Drew McIntyre worked to get that title opportunity.
Sure.
You know, he had several matches. He just get like a fucking, you know.
Oh. Plus, he built himself up on the outside, which exactly. He came in with that credibility already.
Exactly. Jinder doesn't have that. It was just like,
Jinder was just a job guy who all of a sudden became world champion.
Yeah, because they needed someone for India.
Yeah.
You know, and if they want to go that route, that's fine. But like, handle it well and don't make a mockery out of Shinsuke Nakamura.
This match was better than the one they had previously.
Yeah.
It still wasn't very good.
It wasn't.
You know, the ref tries to throw out the Sin Brothers at one point, and then Nakamura hits a Kinshasa and tries to go for the pin, but the referee's still trying to get the Sin Brothers out of the ring. He comes back in, Jinder kicks out, or gets his hand on the rope. Nakamura goes for another one, he misses, hits the railing, and then Jinder Mahal hits Cobra Clutch Slam.
Yeah, he caught him mid Kinshasa.
And the Cobra Clutch Slam on Nakamura looks terrible. Both times he's hit it. Pins him.
I mean, like, is this really what we're doing to Shinsuke Nakamura? We're having a former jobber who's basically only there for the sole purpose of promoting the India brand. Are we really going to have him be the one to beat Shinsuke Nakamura? At least with Samoa Joe, there's, like, some beef behind that. And there's backing.
Right.
You know? But there's, like, there's no beef. There's no backing. I don't believe it. You know?
Yeah.
And like, even from a, and it's hard for me to separate it, like, as a, like, what I know and as a storyline. I can't separate it. It just overtakes it. And then for the second time in after pay per view, Shinsuke Nakamura and Randy Orton faced Rusev and Jinder Mahal, I think.
No, he wasn't on SmackDown.
Jinder?
No.
Who
did it? Was somebody else.
Aiden English.
Aiden English, yeah.
Aiden English, my bad. But yeah, and just, I'm tired of it. I need someone to take the belt off him.
Bobby Roode taking on Dolph Ziggler.
I refuse to watch this match.
First of all, Ziggler promised the greatest, most spectacular entrance ever. So his music starts and just goes, "Yow!" And then there's no music. And he just walks out to booze.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are they doing here? what the fuck is going on? Like,
I think what he's doing is just like being aware of the fact of what people think of him.
So they have like a standard wrestling match.
Yeah, I didn't watch it because I didn't want to see. I want my memory of Bobby Roode to be happy.
They didn't have a bad match, but it was just like a normal TV match you'll see on SmackDown any day of the week.
Yeah.
And it ends with they do like four fucking roll-ups and keep reversing. Finally, Bobby Roode gets the pin.
Yeah.
And then Ziggler hits him with a zigzag and beats the shit out of him and leaves him lying and leaves.
Yep. And they're continuing this.
Yep. So, yeah.
If Bobby Roode gets into the title picture and Jinder Mahal is still champion, Bobby Roode better get that belt off him.
The things that are going on in NXT are so much more exciting than anything on the main roster. And we'll get into that, but
I cannot wait. You know, no disrespect to Vince McMahon, but I cannot wait till Triple H takes over everything.
Yeah, I agree. So we had our main event now. Shane McMahon, Kevin Owens, and admittedly, this match has been built pretty well.
It has. This has had the most care to it.
It's Falls Count Anywhere now, too, in a Hell in a Cell match, which makes no fucking sense, but whatever.
Yeah.
It starts out, and this match, to me, in the beginning, is very similar to the one Shane had with The Undertaker.
Yeah.
In the respect of Shane McMahon throws the worst punches you've ever seen.
Yeah.
They're so fake and unbelievable. Like, it just really takes you out of it.
Yeah, I find it funny to watch. Like, I'm just watching it like,
so bad. And then, you know, especially when you see that and then you watch a New Japan match.
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck. But basically, you're just waiting for them to get on top of the cell.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Watching this, it just like, it was like, it was just very much a brawl, you know?
Yeah, so Shane finally decides he's going to go outside, gets bolt cutters out, and he can't get the bolts off of the cage, dude. He's trying forever, man. Finally gets him out. They go on top of the cage, and, I mean, I was, like, kind of scared, because, like...
Oh, yeah, they had, like, a full, like... A
lot of moves on top of that cage.
There was pop-up power bomb, like, two DDTs.
Mm-hmm.
Still, when they were still in the cage, he was Kevin Owens was going for the pop-up power bomb, and he Shane reversed it into, like, an arm lock, an arm bar.
Right.
And I thought that was actually really cool, like...
Yeah, it was.
That was cool, and then he did it again... But Kevin Owens just, like, picked him up and slammed him into the cage or the cell. But, so, yeah, the talk was crazy.
Yeah, so, you know, there at one point, Shane's laying on the table on the bottom and Owens is, like, trying to psych himself up to do a move off the top.
Mm-hmm.
And he pusses out.
Yeah.
Thought that was great because he is trying to be a heel, so that got a lot of heat.
Yeah.
And then he's arguing with the people, you know, and that's when Shane goes back up. They start climbing down, and about halfway up the cage, Owens gets knocked off. He goes through a table.
Yep.
Shane says that's not enough. He puts Kevin Owens on another table and climbs back up. And then he ends up doing the elbow drop off. And at first, I didn't see this.
Yeah.
It looked like Kevin Owens just got out of the way.
Don't say who it was yet.
Okay. So he goes through the table, it explodes, Kevin Owens climbs on top of him and pins him, and yeah. Kevin Owens wins.
Kevin Owens didn't roll out, he was pulled by Sami Zayn.
Yes.
Sami freaking Zayn.
I did not see that coming.
Saved Kevin Owens.
Yes.
And you hear a thunderous...
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like... The craziest thing ever. Sami Zayn, everybody's lovable neighborhood Sami Zayn, saved Kevin Owens.
It was definitely unexpected. Nobody expected that. Because Sami's kind of fallen off the radar, you know?
Sami hasn't been on TV in
the
like
only time
a
he was
time.
Was to get the shit beat out of him by Kevin Owens right yeah. before this pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
So, the next night on SmackDown, catch us up on that.
So, on SmackDown, they come on out, Kevin, and Sammy's just like, you know what? You know, yeah, this guy was my best friend, and he stabbed me in the back and was my bitter enemy, but he never stopped being my brother. Just basically saying, like, we're brothers.
Yeah.
And he's just like, you know, Shane McMahon doesn't care. Like, if he really cared, I'd be, you know, at
he
the
basically
top.
Didn't, Shane didn't yeah. give him an opportunity.
You know, Shane didn't give me opportunity. He wanted to do it for himself.
Which, guess what? Sami Zayn's fucking right. 100%.
Yeah, and it's just like, and people are like, just trying, they're like, do we boo him? Do we cheer him? Because he's right, but he just turned heel.
I never in a million years thought Sami Zayn would be a heel.
I'm happy for it.
Which makes me wonder if the Usos are going to turn face so they can drop the belts to Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens.
So basically, like, Sami and KO, like, KO goes in to hug Sami, and they're just, everyone's just like, wow. What I heard might be happening is Shane McMahon and AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens and
Survivor Series teams, Sami too, is the rumor.
Yeah, so I don't know how that's going to turn out. Yeah. I'm happy for it because guess what? Sammy's doing something now.
Right.
You know, but yeah, that was, you know, if there's any match we'd recommend for you guys to watch, it'd probably be the main event.
Well, I think the best match of the night was the Usos and New Day, but yeah. because of what happened in the main event,
yeah,
that's worth checking out, you know, because totally unexpected. It's just, that was totally out of left field. I don't think anybody saw that coming in a million years.
Yeah, it was... I had to, like, rewatch it.
Yeah.
And it was crazy.
So let's talk about New Japan's King of Pro Wrestling pay-per-view. So King of Pro Wrestling, we got a main event of Evil challenging Kazuchika Okada for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. We didn't see every match on here, but we'll just kind of run through the results of some of these matches. It started out with Los Ingobernables de Japón, which was Bushi, Hiromu Takahashi, and Sanada They defeated the Bullet Club team of Bad Luck Fale, Leo Tonga, and Yujiro Takahashi, a.k.a. Tokyo Pimp.
The Tokyo Pimp.
We got team of Hiroki Goto and Toru Yano representing Chaos. They defeated Suzuki Gun team of Minoru Suzuki and Zack Sabre Jr. So Toru Yano is getting an open Neverweight title match against Minoru Suzuki.
Nice.
Because the storyline is Minoru Suzuki can't beat Yano.
Dang.
So that's fucking funny.
I remember I breezed through that match and like Yano just grabbed his hair and I'm just like, that's so funny.
This match I did watch. I don't know if you got a chance to catch it or not. Roppongi 3K. They defeated the Funky Future.
Yeah,
Ricochet.
I saw that match.
Okay. This is a pretty damn good match.
It was really good.
Roppongi 3K ended up being the Tempura Boys.
Okay.
Who we saw at the G1 live show in Long Beach. Pretty good match. Ricochet ended up eating the pin. And I think he's done, dude.
Yeah.
When we do Breaking Kayfabe, we'll talk about Ricochet's future.
Yeah.
But I think his time with New Japan is up.
Yeah.
And maybe probably other indie promotions as well.
Dun, dun, dun.
Next up was the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team Championship match, a triangle match, elimination style. Killer Elite Squad defending against the Guerrillas of Destiny and War Machine. This was a heavy-hitting, hard fucking match.
Every time we do a New Japan pay-per-view, this is always my favorite match. And it was, again, I just loved everything about it. It was like punching in the face, kicking the teeth, and then I'm going to do a backflip over you too. And again,
mostly Guerrillas of Destiny and War Machine. Killer Elite Squad, not too many flips.
Yeah.
But
dude, like I've said it before, I'll say it again. Tama Tonga is probably one of the most underrated professional wrestlers of all time.
Started out with Killer Elite and War Machine mouthing off in the aisleway. Guerrillas run around through the crowd and attack them from behind.
They're so fun, dude.
They end up being the first ones eliminated, though.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think there was this one spot where one of the guys, War Machine, was holding them. The other guy jumped off the middle rope and then just slammed everyone into the ground. And I just thought that was super dope. Especially because these guys are huge. Like,
yeah.
When we were at the live show and we saw them, I was like, fuck.
Yeah. Killer Elite Squad ends up picking up the win and they keep the belts. So
yeah.
They're going to be fighting again, I believe, at another Ring of Honor pay-per-view. So that feud will continue. There was another six-man tag that I just kind of watched bits and pieces of. I guess they're calling this group the Luxury Trio. Cody, Kenny Omega, and Marty Scurll of the Bullet Club. They defeated Beretta, Jado, and Yoshihashi. Now, Kenny Omega is defending the United States title against Yoshihashi at a Ring of Honor show in Chicago. And the whole time, Kenny Omega has been burying him in interviews, like,
oh, yeah.
You're not on my level. This is just a warm-up match.
This is just like, because there's no one else worthy.
Yeah.
Cody's
yeah.
Like, yeah, this is just this isn't a right. This is a privilege, you know? You're not, like, there's no one else to fight, so he's got to fight someone.
Right. Another tag match, Juice Robinson and Kota Ibushi defeated Hiroshi Tanahashi and Togi Makabe. That just kind of set up Tanahashi and Ibushi for the Intercontinental Championship at their next pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Will Ospreay challenging Kushida for the Junior Heavyweight Championship. This match was fucking outstanding.
This is a great match. It was...
We were talking earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it's as good as the Best of Super Juniors finals match,
mm-hmm.
but very, very good.
Yeah, this match was everything you expect from these two. There was a lot of like back and forth. It was just all in all a great match. I enjoyed it.
Ospreay, a lot of time his arm was getting worked on, trying to set up the hoverboard lock, and the knee as well. You know, as always, he does amazing moves, great counters, back and forths. The only thing, the criticism I have of Will Ospreay, he's selling really good, right, for a while, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it's like his leg's not hurting anymore. and he'll do like 17 backflips without even showing. And you know, and that's what separates him and Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
Even Naito, like you'll see them, they're climbing the rope and they're still kind of limping. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that sense of realism is still there. You know, when Will Ospreay has gotten way better in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
From the days of like him and Ricochet having those like gymnastics matches.
Yeah, definitely. He's evolved even in the past couple months.
Yeah. You know?
He's definitely evolved. His selling does need work. I agree with that. But
he's fantastic. And he's the kid's only like 23, dude.
Yeah, he's young. He's fucking British people, dude. Like even fucking Tyler Bate. Tyler Bate's like a year older than I am. And yeah. I'm like 19, you know?
Yeah, all these kids are awesome, dude.
Yeah.
You know, Kushida gets a hoverboard lock in for quite a while, and they do a great job of making you believe that's going to be the finish.
Mm-hmm.
He gets out of it, though. He does a reverse 450 splash, which I don't know why that's not his finish.
Yeah.
Kushida kicks out of that. He ends up finally hitting the Os Cutter, which to me looks too much like the Lethal Injection. But, and he ends up beating Kushida finally, which has been a story they've been telling all year long.
Yeah.
That he can't beat Kushida. You know, Kushida's beaten him. He even beat him in the World Cup for the WCPW.
Mm-hmm.
They had that tournament, and Kushida ended up winning it and beating Will Ospreay in the finals.
Yeah, it's a great storyline, and the fallout from that is Marty's... So,
well, first...
Will Ospreay is the first English or just non-Japanese...
I don't think it's non-Japanese because Ricochet's had that belt for sure.
Okay, so he's the first English wrestler.
So is Kenny Omega, so yeah.
Yeah, he's the first English wrestler out of like the UK to hold that belt.
Well, Takahashi comes out. If you remember the last pay-per-view, Takahashi came out to challenge Kushida. Before he gets a word in, Will Ospreay jumps him from behind, knocks him out, and he challenges Kushida. So now Takahashi comes out. I love this storyline. He's about to challenge Will Ospreay. Before he can get a word out, Marty Scurll comes in and snaps his finger. And then he challenges Will Ospreay. Yep. So that's where we're going at the next pay-per-view.
Yep, Marty Scurll versus Will Ospreay.
Which will be a fantastic match.
Definitely will. I don't think Marty's going to get the belt, though.
I love the tantrum Takahashi threw in the ring after that, too.
Yep.
I think where they're going ultimately is going to be Ospreay and... Takahashi at Wrestle Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
They've kind of been feuding on Twitter too, weird shit. But it's hard to say if that was my favorite match of the night. I thought there's no way anything was going to top that, and then we had Tetsuya Naito defending the G1 briefcase against Tomohiro Ishii. This match was outstanding, dude.
Great match. Ishii...
So hard-hitting.
...is, like, the perfect guy to work with. You know, his Kenny Omega matches were great, and this match was great as well, you know?
Yeah, these guys, I mean, you can hear the shots, dude, the forearms.
Definitely.
Just laying it in.
Definitely. And then, like, I feel like Naito had to, like, get into it, like, really quick, because, like, he does his little thing where he just doesn't give a fuck for, like... Mm-hmm. A couple minutes into the match, but this one he was just like, oh fuck, I gotta get into this.
I love it too. Naito does his like bounce off the rope roll and tranquilo pose.
Yep.
And then Ishii jumps back in the ring immediately and elbow drops him, and Don Callis is like, I've been waiting for 6 months for somebody to do that. So but again, hard fucking hitting, dude, and just there's a bunch of reversals from the Brainbuster into the Destino.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, I think Naito ends up hitting like three Destinos Ishii away.
Three Destinos. And those are counting Destinos that worked. There was like a bunch that didn't work.
Yeah, yeah. And then he ends up getting the pin. So he'll be challenging Okada now for sure. Or Evil, depending on how this main event goes. So the main event... was Evil taking on Kazuchika Okada. Evil had a badass entrance.
Oh, yeah.
He had the druids accompanying him to the ring, and there was a throne. So I thought that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could understand Japanese, because he cut the promo video to sell this match. Like, I wish I could hear like what Evil was saying, you know?
Yeah.
But This was a good match. I think Evil has really broken out as a future star here.
You know, obviously Okada is really great, but I think Evil probably stood out and gave... I think everyone was surprised at how much...
He was able to hang?
Hang with Okada, yeah.
I don't think this was as good as her G1 match.
No.
But...
I think, that one was more or less surprising, you know?
Yeah, that's true. One crazy spot, dude. Evil's in the crowd, in the chairs. Okada's going to do his... Where he runs, jumps over the railing, and does a splash.
Running really fast, splash.
Midway in running, Evil throws a chair at Okada's head. Okada ducks under the chair and, at the same time, springs up and still does a splash, dude. It was,
nice.
So, just well-timed. Something I didn't understand about this match, though, and it threw me off. Evil takes out a chair and starts hitting Okada with it right in front of the fucking referee.
Yeah, I saw the chairs, and then he got, a bunch of chairs. I'm like, wait, is this a new no DQ match, or do they just not give a fuck?
But then they do a ref bump, so the ref can't see it.
Yeah.
You know, and that was crazy, too, because Evil was going to do... Here's another thing I don't get. Why isn't Darkness Falls his finisher instead of a setup? Because his finisher is the STO.
Mm-hmm.
Darkness Falls is the one where he gets a sit-out, powerbomb.
Yeah.
Why doesn't he do that? That looks way better than the STO.
Maybe he thought it was too simple. I mean, I agree with you. It'd probably work out best, but...
STO is as simple as it gets, though, dude.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? That's just get him like you're going to do rock bottom and a leg trip.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, but he goes for that Darkness Falls on a stack of chairs, and Okada turns that around into a Hurricanrana, and Evil hits on all the chairs.
Yeah.
Pretty badass spot. Zenton's left and right in this match, too.
A lot of Rainmakers.
Yeah, Rainmaker attempts.
Yeah. I don't buy the Rainmaker.
No?
No, I don't buy it because I also see Jimmy Havoc do it from WCPW. Welcome to
It's not as good as King's Landing.
I didn't like that either. But I can't to me, if someone power slammed me and then slammed my face STO, if you slam my face into the ground, I feel like that hurts more than some guy's elbow, inside elbow going to my face, you know?
Yeah, but you see, he's summoning the power of
money.
Of the rain. Yeah,
he's summoning the power of the rain.
He's summoning the power of money.
Money.
Okada counters the Evil calls that STO Evil.
Yeah.
Counters the Evil into a spinning, jumping tombstone pile driver. Picks him up, hits two Rainmakers, and pins him. Retains the belt, then he calls out Naito, and they have a stare down. So that's going to be a Wrestle Kingdom main event.
Have they ever fought each other before?
Yes. As a matter of fact, they had a IWGP. The first time Naito won the G1,
mm-hmm.
The fans were so against Naito at the time. They had a vote to see which match would main event Wrestle Kingdom, and that ended up being the semi-main event. The main event was for the Intercontinental title, and it was Nakamura and Tanahashi for the Intercontinental.
Oh, wow.
Last year, Naito beat Okada for the belt.
Mm-hmm.
And Naito told... This is the funniest shit I've ever heard. Naito told Okada, the only way I'll give you a rematch for this belt is the next pay-per-view, you have to run out like a young lion. So basically, all the young lions, they are only allowed to wear black trunks.
Yeah.
And they have to all run out to the ring like a jobber.
Yeah.
So that's the only way he was going to give Okada a rematch. But Okada ended up beating him and won the belt back. So.
Yeah.
But Naito wasn't as big as he is now. That's kind of when he just started to get big.
Yeah, after you went to Mexico for a while.
Right. So, yeah. It's looking like those two are going to go at it.
Yeah.
I'm fully expecting Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi to have a match there too.
Yeah.
Which, oh my God. I wouldn't be surprised if Tanahashi and Evil wrestle for that Intercontinental title.
That'd be awesome to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's looking great. I enjoyed it. Again, New Japan, hard-hitting as ever and as real as ever.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into some breaking kayfabe. Come on! You know I got
gotcha. Yeah. One. Break the wall. Break down the walls.
So I got a little something outside of both. Well, not really outside. But Austin Aries is going to be at the House of Hardcore 36 Blizzard Brawl. And he's going to be facing Ricochet.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Ricochet and Austin Aries, November 27th in Australia.
That is fucking awesome.
So yeah, so Brain Busters and Bananas are coming your way, Australia.
Speaking of cruiserweights, so nobody can confirm this, but the big, big rumor going around right now is that Neville walked out on the company.
Yeah, Neville walked out on Raw. Well, they confirmed that he walked out.
But that they can't confirm he's left the company.
Yeah, so they have, I don't know what's going on with that, but yeah, he walked out for sure because, and this is where it kind of gets a little fuzzy, because he was supposed to job to Enzo that night, and he was like, fuck that, I'm leaving. And so that's why Kalisto was added into that match instead, and Kalisto beat Enzo just for like a shock thing, you know?
Right.
And also it's Hispanic Heritage Month, so
Eddie Guerrero's birthday was that day too.
Yeah, and Eddie's birthday, rest in peace, RIP. Yeah.
I fully expect Kalisto to drop that belt back to Enzo though.
Oh god.
At TLC. Because they're building that whole show and brand around Enzo.
Yeah, it's just
whether we like it or not.
Yeah, it's going to crap. But Neville just got fed up and I don't blame him. Like if he leaves, I don't blame him. I remember watching Up Up Down Down, which is a YouTube channel Xavier Woods has for video games.
Yeah, great show.
Yeah, it's great. And I was watching him play video games with Sasha Banks, and he just kind of looked depressed, you know? Like, he looked like he wasn't, like, having fun. And I'm not sure if that's just how he normally is, or he's, like, just... there's no one for him to wrestle. Like,
well, there's another rumor going around that a lot of guys from the WWE are contacting Cody Rhodes, asking advice for their departure. So that's very interesting. This Bullet Club invasion thing too of Raw has only made the Bullet Club bigger stars.
Oh yeah, like WWE, you guys fucked up.
They fired Jimmy Jacobs, who is a friend of he's a former independent wrestler.
Yeah.
And he was a writer for WWE. He took a selfie with them from the invasion.
Yep.
They fucking fired him.
That's fucked up.
So they're getting to the WWE, dude. Like,
they
big
are.
Time.
And also, like, so I think we addressed this last podcast, but basically they can't use Too Sweet anymore.
Right.
And, like, people are buying, and so, like, what they have, the Young Bucks have now is a shirt of them doing Too Sweet, but it says censored. People are buying those shirts left and right, and just Bullet Club's taking over, dude. Yeah. Like, Hot Topic, like, I was in a Hot Topic yesterday. And they have, not only do they have Bullet Club shirts, they have Bullet Club jackets, pullovers, socks, you know? Like, it's crazy.
Everybody thought when AJ and Gallows and Anderson left, and Devitt, that the Bullet Club was not as big, but I would argue they're bigger than they've ever been.
They're totally bigger.
You know?
For sure bigger.
That and being the Elite, and then the Hot Topic deal, I mean, fuck, man.
Yeah. Yeah, probably gonna buy a Villain Club shirt this coming weekend, so
hey, good, do it.
Yeah,
that's the thing too, is like New Japan's bigger than it's ever been. Ring of Honor is bigger than it's ever been.
Definitely.
I'm not saying they're gonna like take WWE out or give them a run for their money, but
I say they give them a run for their money, because if this is how big the Bullet Club is right now, and if they're smart about it, they can make it bigger within the next 6 months.
The problem is money.
Yeah.
If they had a big-time investor like a Ted Turner, like WCW did,
yeah,
that invested into that product, the sky's the limit, dude.
Yeah.
It really is. But
and then, like, they share connections, too. Like, New Japan allows wrestlers to wrestle for Ring of Honor, and then WCPW, and then, you know, ICW lets wrestlers wrestle for all this other shit, too. Like,
right.
Like, it's just very friendly and very open, you know?
Right.
And, like, I honestly, like, I used to want, like, the Bullet Club to come in. But yeah, so, like, I don't want the Bullet Club to come to WWE anymore. I need them to stay away.
Because, really don't either, dude.
Yeah. Like, if they want to have a quote-unquote club reunion with the guys who are already in there, that's fine. That's great. But, you know, like, if they go to WWE, we're not going to have the Bullet Club shirts.
Right.
They're going to have to be something different. I don't think Kenny is wanting to put on 6-star matches every month, you know?
Right.
I don't, like, the Young Bucks are probably going to get lost in translation in between the tag teams.
Right.
And, you know, and what's Hangman Page going to do, you know?
Yeah. And same, you know, same with Marty.
Yeah, same Marty.
If he did go.
Yeah. What? Actually, you know what? I think out of all of them, Marty would probably do the best.
Because of his character?
Yeah, because he's very, like, he's a good wrestler.
Kenny would, I think.
You think Kenny would?
It's not, you can't hold Kenny Omega down, dude.
Yeah.
He's still the most popular guy they have.
But do you think they'd, like, utilize him, like, okay, what do you think he'll be? Do you think he'll be a Finn or an AJ? In terms of level of usage and stature.
I think he'd be bigger than both of them, myself.
You think?
Yeah.
No, he? Okay.
I don't know, though. I mean, you could be absolutely right. They do fuck up almost every guy. Look at what they're doing at Nakamura.
Yeah.
I never thought in a million years they would use Nakamura like that, dude. And well, I did because Vince McMahon's racist and he hates Japanese. I mean, anybody that's from a different country, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I just, man.
They fuck up Japanese people all the time. Mexican people all have to be, oh, we love Eddie Guerrero. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They hold those, like, stereotypes.
They have those stereotypes, you know.
They do even with white people, though. Like, if it's a guy from Arkansas, oh, they're fucking pig farmers. The Godwins. You remember them?
Oh,
shit. God.
Or, like, if they're fucking British, they have to be, like,
very... Yeah, like, proper, yeah.
Proper and, like, hey, fuck you.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh. So, they've gotten away from that a little bit, but... remains to be seen, but...
I know for sure the Young Bucks won't go. Cody, if Cody ever goes back, he's gonna be like, I want this, this, and this. You can't do that? Fuck you. You know? But, yeah, so... Anything from you?
Oh, yeah, we're just getting started, bro.
Oh, yeah.
So, I'm not going to try to spoil NXT coming up, but WWE spoiled what's going to happen, and this is insane. They're bringing back War Games.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah, do you know what the main event is?
I don't remember, no.
Okay, I'll just spoil it right here, fuck it. It's a three-team War Games, so two rings, steel cage surrounding the whole thing. You've got the Undisputed Era.
Are they calling them that, or are they calling them CFO?
I believe it's Undisputed Era.
Okay. Kind of long, but whatever.
Well, CFO, they can't do that because CFO is the one that makes all the WWE entrance songs.
But that's CFO cash money.
Oh, that's right.
You know?
So it's them, it's Sanity, and it's the Authors of Pain and Roderick Strong, which is a weird team, but... That's okay. The main event for TakeOver War Games.
I heard like Undisputed Era was going to be in there, but I didn't know it was going to be those guys.
So yeah.
This should be fucking interesting.
You'll be surprised to see who's challenging Drew.
I should. I saw the... I think I saw the Velveteen Dream versus Rush. Is that his name?
Yeah, the Leo Rush.
Rush.
Leo Rush is... God, he's small.
Yeah, that was a good match. I didn't know they were teammates.
Leo Rush will be 205 live, no doubt about it. But I'm liking the Velveteen Dream, and for sure he's going to end up taking on Aleister Black.
I'm excited for that feat.
Me too.
100%. That's going to be really good.
This is the closest we've gotten to Goldust in years, dude. Like old Goldust.
Good Goldust.
Yeah.
So Liv Morgan.
This character. Let me just finish.
All right, go ahead.
Velveteen Dream's character. Gives me hope that if Dalton Castle were to ever come to the WWE, we would see that. We would see the real Dalton Castle.
The real Dalton Castle.
You know?
I'm stoked for it.
Go ahead, though. Liv Morgan.
Liv Morgan, I think it was Nikki Cross. No, Ruby Riott. And which one from the Iconic duo? Peyton Royce or the other one?
Peyton Royce.
Peyton Royce. They had a... three-way match, and Peyton Royce is now in the women's title picture along with Kyra?
Kairi Sane?
Kairi Sane.
Yeah.
So it's those two right now. I think there's either two or three more spots open.
Two more spots open. That, the tapings have all been done. So, yeah, there will be a fatal four-way to crown a new NXT Women's Champion. Drew's going to be defending the belt there. You've got Aleister Black and the Velveteen Dream. And I'm assuming Johnny Gargano will be facing somebody.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It looks like CN.
Cassius Ohno is taking on that big motherfucker that actually made WWE 2K18 for some reason. They got big plans for this dude. Miley.
Oh, Miley? Really?
Yeah.
Shit.
Nice. He's in that game, dude.
Really?
And he's like, he just debuted like, what, a month ago?
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool.
Dylan Miley, right?
Yes.
He's taking on Cassius Ohno.
Word. That should be cool.
Yeah.
I think Johnny Gargano is going to be facing CN again because that feud, I think last week on NXT, or Wednesday, last Wednesday in NXT, they faced each other and...
That match is not happening in TakeOver.
It's not? Oh. They're not continuing it?
You want me to just spoil it for you?
Yeah, let's spoil it.
CN is getting a title shot.
Really?
Yes.
Word. Word.
Yeah. It's him taking on Drew McIntyre for the NXT Championship.
That's awesome.
I agree.
Ever since, like, he got paired up with the chick, that's awesome.
He's been on fire.
He's been on fire.
Yeah. And that match he had with Gargano is one of the top 10 matches of the year.
Oh, yeah. It's super good.
I thought about if see, I think I brought this up before with you. Like, I wanted to do a top 10 match of the year list where we do a show like that, but three of those matches are going to be Kenny Omega fucking Okada, dude.
If we do a show like that, maybe we could do, like, top 20.
I think if we did that, those three matches would have to be bunched into, like, one match, dude.
Yeah.
You know what?
I agree. Yeah.
The same with Tanahashi and Naito.
Yeah, if they have more than three matches and they're all three of them are great, not good, great, then they have to be considered as one.
Yeah, sure. But we'll talk about that. But
yeah.
So War Games is coming back. Well, we talked about Neville. We talked about Austin Aries.
Raw. We need to talk about Raw.
The Shield. Finally happened.
It's happening. You know, you said last week that last podcast that Vince McMahon's hitting the nuke button. He just sent the atomic bomb.
Yep.
Hiroshima, that bitch.
We got our reunion.
It was, The Miz, and for some reason...
The Bar
came out and helped The Miz kick the ass of Roman Reigns. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they powerbombed him, and then... Miz is having another Mizzies Awards. I'm quite liking the Mizzies. I like it better than the Grammys. And so they're basically like, yeah, we want to thank Roman Reigns for being a little bitch, essentially.
Right.
And then Roman comes out and he's just like, and like you hear like a boo.
Right.
And he's like, y'all better get out my yard. And I was like, boo, boo. And then he's like, I brought some friends. And then you hear Dean Ambrose like, ah.
Yep.
And then you hear Seth Rollins, yeah. And basically, the Shield reunited and, like, kicked the Bar's ass and kicked the Miz's ass, powerbombed him. And then, later in the night, it was Matt Hardy versus Braun Strowman. Weird fucking match.
Right.
And Braun Strowman's kicking, you know, Matt Hardy's ass. And then the Shield come out, and they magically got, like, some matching shirts, you know, in the past hour or so.
Yeah.
Since we last saw them. And they basically... Power bomb, and then they triple power bomb Braun Strowman through the table.
Side note, why is it that all the shirts on the indies are so much cooler than the ones in the WWE?
Because they have because the actual wrestlers have creativity.
Right?
Yeah.
But, like, the ones in the indies are shirts you can wear, and people won't even know those are wrestling shirts.
Exactly.
You wear the ones from WWE, and it's like Roman Reigns doing the Superman punch. It's like, I don't want to fucking wear that in public, man.
Yeah, that's lame. And then, like, it's fun. And also the wrestlers don't care. Like, I think, another side note, during SummerSlam, Seth Rollins did a podcast interview with Sam Roberts.
Yes.
And he was just basically like, so he's like, how did you guys decide to put the Burn It Down in your theme song? He's like, they gave me, like, sound bites, and I just picked the best one.
You know? Fuck.
And it's just like...
That's the part John Cena was talking about, huh?
Yeah, just like not giving a fuck.
Yeah, everybody just shows up to work and no one really gives a shit.
So they triple power bomb Braun Strowman through the table. And then Charlie Caruso, who's beautiful,
mm-hmm.
interviews The Shield. And then everyone's cheering when Seth's talking. Everyone's cheering when Dean's talking. And then right when Roman's talking, he's like, you hear one guy go, boo! It's the funniest shit ever.
So we have the main event for TLC is The Miz and The Bar taking on The Shield in a TLC match.
But The Miz and The Bar have Braun Strowman with them, too.
Yes. I'm sorry. 4-on-3 match. Yeah. Are the titles on the line?
No. I don't
know. How is it a TLC match, then?
I don't know. I think it's just... It might... Unless they announce it, like, this week, like, hey, it's going to be a title match for all the titles. All the
belts should be on the line, right?
Yeah, it should. So, like, if they win... So, like, if The Shield wins, they keep the titles, and Roman Reigns is the IC champion.
Mm-hmm.
Or vice versa, if, like, the Miztourage wins. But, yeah, so...
That's how it should be.
I'd love that to happen. But, yeah, so The Shield's back together, and, like, everyone loves The Shield, and everyone loves Roman Reigns when he's talking about The Shield.
Yeah.
But when he's talking about other shit, everyone's just like, boo!
I would say right now, the Bullet Club is the hottest group in wrestling. The Shield's probably number two.
Oh, yeah.
And then number three is probably L.I.J.
L.I.J., yeah.
You know, but the rumored main event for Survivor Series, I cannot believe they're actually talking about doing this, is going to be champion versus champion.
I hope it wasn't true. I've been reading it up lately.
Jinder Mahal, the modern day Maharaja, versus the beast incarnate Brock Lesnar.
I swear to God, if Brock Lesnar eats the pin, I'm going to be fucking pissed.
Right? First of all, I feel bad for the Sin Brothers because they're going to fucking die.
They're going to fucking die. They are going to die. R.I.P. the Sin Brothers.
There's no way they're going to put Jinder over Brock, dude. No fucking way.
They put him over Shinsuke Nakamura. And they had the same credentials, essentially.
So that brings us to...
Oh, little side thing on SmackDown Live. When Dolph Ziggler came out to, like, talk to Bobby Roode, there's, like, this one guy in the crowd, and, like, he's standing, and Dolph's standing, like, kind of close to him. I don't know if this was intentional, but, like, if you watch the promo, you just hear this guy saying, "Your breath smells, sir. Please stop talking, sir."
Oh, shit.
"Your breath smells, sir." And he's like, "Hey, fuck you, sir." And I just thought it was the funniest shit ever.
So TLC is, the next show we're going to be covering, that is October 22nd. So that's next weekend.
Mm, yeah, 2 weekends. Yeah,
not this weekend of this recording, but the following.
Yeah.
So we already know the main event. Mickie James is challenging Alexa Bliss for the women's championship,
and then Emma versus Asuka.
Yeah, which
Emma's gonna get the pin.
Fuck yeah, she is.
You're gonna fuck up Asuka. I guarantee it.
I don't think we know any other matches other than that.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Sister Abigail will be taking on the demon.
Okay, so me and Mike have been having an argument. He's like, "Nah, dude, Sister Abigail's gonna be Bray Wyatt dressed up as a girl." I'm like, "No. If that happens, like, I lose all respect for Bray Wyatt. You know, it has to be another character. Just, it doesn't make sense for him to dress up. No one's going to believe it."
So after Monday, I get a text Tuesday morning from Harley. "I've officially given up on Bray Wyatt."
Bray Wyatt fucking dresses up, like, as best as he can. I don't know whose idea was this. I don't believe it's Bray's idea.
Mm-hmm.
But it fucking is the worst idea ever. Okay? Like, if you wanted to dress like Dolph Ziggler up as a female, that's easy. Okay? He doesn't have any facial hair. He already has long hair.
Right.
You know? You're gonna fucking dress up a big, dreadlocked man with a big-ass fucking beard as a woman? It's fucked up and it's dumb. And they just, like, put his voice through, like, distortion and, like, make it sound like a kid's voice, but with his voice behind it, too. And, like, I understand why they're doing that, but fucking bring someone else in. Don't humiliate Bray Wyatt as dressing him drag.
I agree with you, man, 100%.
And poor Finn sells it so well. Like, he's just, like, deathly scared. And I'm just like, man, Finn, you're just so good.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, man. So, what we've got next on the slate is actually Lucha Underground wraps up this week.
Yeah. I saw the Dante Fox and Killshot match.
Oh my god.
How are those? Are they still alive? Did they die? They're dead, right?
So we'll probably wrap that up next weekend.
Yeah.
We'll go over that. And then from there, TLC will be on the horizon and a couple more things down the pipe. That's going to do it for this show, though. You can follow us on all the social media at Dragon Star Radio, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can download the show on iTunes, Podomatic, Google Play, Stitcher Radio. Leave us a rating. Leave us some comments, some feedback. Let us know what you think. And we'll see you next week for Ultima Lucha Tres and quite possibly the last ever Lucha Underground show we ever see.
Yeah.
So that'll do it. See you guys.
Peace.